So I've got a question for you this morning. Can God make a rock so big He can't lift it? No, we got a no here. Yes, I heard a yes back there. Well, with the help of Isaiah and maybe a little help from the Apostle Paul, we're going to attempt to answer that question today. Sometimes you get, Tom talked earlier about questions that pastors get. You know, sometimes the best questions you get are in confirmation class or in Bible class, Bible study. I always think the best questions are in Bible study and confirmation class because they're honest questions, you know. They're sincere questions. They're questions of faith. How do I grow in my faith, Pastor? Tell me the answer. And I think the best answers come when I start by saying something like this. Well, what does God's Word say about it? What does God's Word say about it? Well, today we're going to talk about this question. Can God make a rock so big that He can't lift it? The first thing you might notice about a question like this is that it's really a conceptual question. It's a question about the concept of infinity. It's a question about the word almighty or omnipotent. We've sung the word already many times. Praise God Almighty. What does that almighty mean? It's a question about infinity, God's infinite power. And infinity is not something that human beings are that good at understanding. It's like the word eternal. It's infinite time. The word all-knowing. God says, you think your ways are hidden from me, O Israel? I'm all-knowing. I know everything about you. Infinity. When I was a student in school, I can't remember what grade. What grade is it that you study infinity in math class? I guess it depends on your math class. But so my question for my math teacher was, well, what's infinity plus one? Is infinity plus one greater than infinity? It seems like it should be. And she said, no, it's infinity. So being the bright student, I said, well, what about infinity plus two? Is that bigger? No, it's still infinity. Get your minds around that. So you might rephrase the question. We're talking about God's power. Is God so powerful He can do anything? Or is there anything that God can't do if He's so powerful? Well, of course, if you say He's almighty, He's omnipotent, well, the answer is no. There's nothing that He can't do. But if you were a Patriots fan last year at the Super Bowl, about halfway through the third quarter, when the score is 28-3, and Tom Brady hasn't done anything so far except throw some interceptions, you might say, God couldn't save this team. But if you're a committed Patriots fan or a Tom Brady fan, well, your faith, I would say, would be struggling at that point. And, of course, there was the comeback, and everybody called it a miracle. I don't know if it was God's miracle or not. I don't know that God cares that much about football, and I don't know if he's... I have serious doubts about whether he's a Patriots fan in particular. But there's more important things than football. And we ask ourselves the same kind of questions all the time. When I really need something, when I really need something that matters, when there's someone in my life who's sick or dying, or maybe me, when something's just a really long shot, is God really able to help me? And maybe more so, is He willing to help me? Well, our text from Isaiah says the answer to both questions is yes. Emphatically yes. God as God is both able and willing to rescue His beloved people. In Isaiah's case, even before it happens, God answers Israel's wavering faith. Even though they doubt whether He has the ability or the willingness to rescue them, to bring them out of Babylon, Isaiah preaches to them in Jerusalem. And when does he do it? He does it a century before the Babylonian captivity. So knowing as you go into this captivity, you should know that you're going to be saved. You're going to be rescued. God prepares you for it. So God's people, despite in their doubts, in their unfaithfulness, bringing upon themselves this horrible judgment of a Babylonian captivity, God knows that they're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to doubt the Lord. You're going to be tempted to doubt that He has any power whatsoever. It's going to seem, on the surface, that the Lord God, Yahweh, has been defeated by the gods of the Babylonians. And all those Babylonians are going to let you know it. Yahweh, Shmahweh. Marduk is the guy you got to believe in. Oh, you Israelites, your God is so puny, we crushed you. Burned Jerusalem, took all your stuff from the temple. Your God is puny. And then they're tempted to think, well, God, I know you can do this, but have you abandoned me? Are you willing to help me or not? That's a temptation too. So through Isaiah, God provides an answer to their weakness and their doubts. And He gives them an answer in advance to remind them of who they are and who God is. They are the chosen people. And God is able and God is willing to save them, to rescue them, to bring them back to their homeland, to guard them and keep them as His beloved and chosen people. And Isaiah starts with the law. He starts by gently chastising them and warning them to remember what they should already know, what God's Word says, God's prior faithfulness to them. He says, don't you remember what God has been saying to you from the beginning? From the beginning, He says, I am the Lord. I am the incomparable Creator of the heavens and the earth. All those stars that you see above you, I made those. And you wonder if I'm able to help you. I'm the King above all kings. All those kings that you have, King of Judah, King of Babylon, they're nothing. They're like stubble that blows away in the wind. Of course I'm able to help you. And then to deal with the second temptation, He brings a word of gospel and encourages them. He says, wait for me. Trust in me. I will give you my strength. He says, I know how it looks now. Despite that, despite all that I have spoken, I will never abandon you. I know already. I have set in motion already. I have started the process of saving you. I will bring you back to Jerusalem. I will restore you. First through this Persian king Cyrus, who Isaiah names way in advance. And then ultimately, through the suffering servant who's going to come. Servant who's going to rescue you forever. Out of your weakness, your lack of faith, out of all your iniquity. You see, our dear Father, He answers us in our weak faith. He answers us in our tempted faith and our doubt. He is able to rescue us and preserve us because we are His beloved Israel, His church of all believers of all time. We, like Israel, are tempted to doubt today too. Is God able and willing to help us? Sometimes it looks as if our church is failing. The church in the United States seems like it's losing all the members. Seems like people are losing their faith. Seems like churches are shrinking. Seems like the culture is hostile to God's word. You can't even say Jesus in public unless it's a swear. Seems like America is in a Babylonian captivity. Sometimes we're tempted to say, well, the solution to all that is, well, I've got an idea. Or we got to learn from the business world, or we got to learn from the political world, or we got to learn from the financial world, or we got to learn from the social studies world how to fix the church, or how to fix ourselves, or how to fix somebody else's. That's really what we're good at, how to fix somebody else. Human wisdom, that's what we're tempted to rely on. And sometimes, worst of all, we're tempted to give up. Tempted to give up on the culture around us. To give up on our nation. We're tempted to give up on our families. We're tempted to give up on our marriages. Our children. The people in our lives. We're tempted to give up on our culture totally. God knows our needs. God knows our temptations. And God has prepared an answer. And He began preparing that answer, as He says, from the foundations of the earth, from the beginning. And His answer is the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. And even now, God chastises us gently for our lack of faith. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? He is the Almighty Creator. His word is unbreakable. He is the true King even of our own nation, despite what the President and Congress say. The Lord rules all, even if people don't acknowledge Him. So He is able to do it. And He rules over us specifically for the sake of His church. And the Lord comes. He comes to you today to comfort us, to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith, even in His own body and blood in the sacrament. For Jesus is that suffering servant that Isaiah refers to. The one who paid for our iniquity. The one who exchanged our weakness for His strength. The one who exchanged our sin for His righteousness. The one who exchanged His life for our death. And for our sake, the Father doesn't rescue Him, but lets Him endure the cross. He is, therefore, both able and willing to save us, to rescue us from every threat and need that we face. So, can God make a rock so big He can't lift it? I answer it this way. Yes, God can make a rock so big He can't lift it. And then He lifts it. And I point to the rock of my salvation and your salvation, Jesus Christ, as evidence of that. Because in going to the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself of all of his divine power so he couldn't lift a thing. He needed help carrying that cross. He went to the grave. And then he came out of the grave. Then the rock was rolled away so that you and I could see the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how he lifted up. That is our Lord. And he gives that victory over the grave to all who believe. St. Paul kind of puts it the same way, better than me. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, "For Christ must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet." But when it says all things are put in subjection, it's plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So somebody asks you if God can raise, can make a rock that he can't lift, say yes, and then he can lift it. Conclusion is, this promise is ours. As Isaiah says, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Here, hidden in the midst of weakness and exile in this life, for a while, and then in our homeland with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you